this morning that we can fellowship together. And even though our plans were changed a little bit, you know the plans that you have for us. We can trust you with everything, even when things change. And I pray that we will get from your word the exact things your spirit wants to show us about your nature and about worship and praise. I pray for these ones that are in need. I pray for Patty's unspoken request. I pray for Larry Fry and Peter Filan, Tammy Rhodes, people right here in our community that in our fellowship. Pray for ones that we haven't seen for a little while, like Pauline and Linda and Jim and Anna Grace. Pray blessings on them this morning. Pray for those who are in flood situations in Texas or other places. Pray your presence will be felt and known there, and that through the challenges and crisis that hearts will be drawn to you. Show God's people how to respond, how to help. Guide each of us as to what our participation should be when there is a current crisis or even in things that are ongoing needs. Help us to have a heart for missions, to never forget praying for those who are persecuted, and help us to really join with our brothers and sisters in Christ through prayer and other meaningful ways, that they would know the support, know that your spirit is with them, but also know that their fellow brothers and sisters are with them. We are your body. Help us to be united as your body. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I guess it's up to you whether the kids go down or stay up. It's up to you. I'm using a mic primarily so Patty can record. I don't have a message prepared. Like I said, this was last minute. A speaker called me last night. But I feel led to talk about and study the Word of God about worship. And so I'm going to read off a couple scriptures for people to voluntarily read, and we'll try to discover what is there in each scripture about worship that we need to pay attention to. The first scripture is Psalm 19, 1 and 2. And for those who like to work ahead, the second one is Psalm 13, 5 to 6. And another one is Psalm 9, especially verse 1. So whoever gets to Psalm, I lost my glasses again, like last week. Whoever gets to the psalm first can read it out. Psalm 13, 5 to 6. 13? Yes. That's what I have written down, unless I wrote it down wrong. We could actually read all of 13. It's not that long.
Read the whole thing.
Might as well. It's more better to, for context.
Oh, Lord, how long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and every day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me and answer me. can do the Lord, and He has been good to me.
Okay. What are some things that it's telling us to rejoice and thank God for?
Victory over enemies.
Yes. What is his heart glad about in verse 5? Yes. It's never too often that we can thank God for our salvation. We can thank Him every day, multiple times a day. Such a precious gift. So praise can be a prayer. It doesn't have to be a song. Sometimes this praise wells up in us and we can desire to praise Him in song. We can trust Him in His unfailing love. Let's look at Psalm 9. Let's just do like maybe the first two verses.
I will praise you, O Lord, my whole heart. I will tell of all your marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Lord God.
Okay. So we do see that he's saying about singing to praise God. What else does he do to praise God? Yeah. So when you just speak to your friends and say, what a beautiful day God made, you're giving glory to God for that. That's praise. Think of how we praise our young athletes, our kids. We say, good job catching the ball. You know, we acknowledge things that they do well at. Good job getting those spelling words right. Well, with God, we can acknowledge the wonderful things that He's done, too. It should flow naturally out of us. It doesn't have to, I'm not saying that you never have to remind yourself to do it, but it doesn't have to be forced. It's a natural expression of your gratitude to God. Let's look at Psalm 19, 1 and 2. Okay, so who's doing the praises here? Yeah. What did Jesus say about the children worshiping? If they keep silent, who would cry out? Yeah. So if we don't praise God and give glory, creation still does. So we might as well get in on the act because we're part of the creation. Okay? And we're to proclaim Him to others. So non-believers should hear us praising God, giving Him glory, to know that that's who we're giving credit for all these things. Okay, let's look at Psalm 24:10. I'll read that one. I'm I'm going to drop back to 9. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Lift them up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord Almighty. He is the King of glory. What does this psalm tell us, this passage tell us about worship? It's meant to glorify the King, right? Once again, it's not just the songs we sing, it's our obedience and actions. When we obey God, we give Him glory. When we're tempted to do something that we know wouldn't be pleasing to Him, and then we ask Him for strength and don't do it because we want to honor our Lord, that brings Him glory. So praise and worship is more than just singing a song. A song is a natural expression of worship. All right. Psalm 28:7. I'm going to read it 6-9 because I want to read longer than what I wrote down. Praise be to the Lord, for He has heard my cry for mercy. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in Him and I am helped. My heart leaps for joy and I will sing and give thanks to Him in song. The Lord is the strength of His people, a fortress of salvation for His anointed one. Save your people and bless your inheritance. Be the shepherd and carry them forever. How is the writer of this psalm praising and glorifying God?
Give strength to His people, the fortress of salvation.
Yeah. So how He honors God is coming to Him whenever He needs help, mercy, or trouble. So when we are in trouble, we go to Him, that glorifies Him. So you will see one of the good kings that started out good that you see in Chronicles was Asa. Asa sought after the Lord. But there was a time where an enemy was approaching or attacking him, and he went and took the gold from the temple, and he went and appealed to another nation, I think it was the Edomites, for help. He says, here, break your treaty with this other king and attack him. I'm paying you more than what he's paying you, so attack my enemy. And God said, because you went to that other king instead of to me with your trouble, this other king will be a thorn in your side the rest of the time of your reign. So we dishonor God when we have a problem and we go to everyone else first. We worship and praise Him when we have a problem and we go to Him first. And I remember just many times that Dad taught me, like when you have a mechanical problem or can't find something, ask the Lord and He'll help you find it. I couldn't find something on Thursday. I couldn't find something on Thursday. Looked around, couldn't find it. You know what I did? I didn't pray. I ordered another one next day air instead. It cost me like 80 some dollars, and it didn't come on Friday either. It's not coming till Monday. So the lost part would have been better served if I would have prayed than trusting in next day air. So I don't always do this. I didn't honor God in that. I honored my own wallet to fix the problem. So I'm not teaching from a position of doing things right. I'm teaching a position of don't do what I do. Psalm 31:3. Whoever gets it can read it. If you want to read extra, you can. How about do 1-3? Someone read 1-3. Okay. So, what's some key words, what we do in our relationship with God to honor Him? According to these verses. And it's even for the sake of His name. Yep, that's it. When we let Him lead and guide us, we give honor and glory to Him. And that probably goes along with my earlier illustration of fixing the problem my own way rather than looking for God's leading. And in what we do, you know, whether it's how to fix something or whether to hire and fire someone or who to put on what team to assign to a task, who to entrust as a contractor to do a roof or whatever. If we rely on the Lord, He will show us, and we can avoid a lot of trouble when we trust in Him. But it's not about us, it's about giving glory to Him. That's the thing. We don't want to teach a prosperity gospel of ask God for things and you'll be wealthy. And that's not the point. If God wants you wealthy, you'll be wealthy. If God doesn't want you wealthy, you won't be wealthy. But the point is to always give Him the glory. Psalm 42. Psalm 42, 11. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, my Savior and my God. How do we honor God in this scripture? So when life just seems kind of hopeless, maybe it's financial, maybe it's family members not coming to Christ and you wish that they would. Probably all of us have some kind of burden, something that we wish we would see change. maybe strife in the family that we wish would stop, maybe a disagreement that's unresolved or seems to be not getting any better. We should hope in the Lord that He can bring about the change that He wants in that situation. And when we do so, we honor and glorify Him. We worship Him by putting our hope in Him. And what we're trying to see here is other ways other than just worship songs that put honor in Him. So when we sing a song and we're saying, my hope is in you, my trust is in you, if we're worshiping in spirit and truth throughout that week, we are actually putting our hope and trust in God. Otherwise, we end up mouthing words and not actually hoping and trusting. It's an empty praise song. But whenever we've been putting our hope and trust in God, or we're learning to put our hope and trust in God, even though we don't do it perfectly, then that act is an act of worship. It's worship with its shoes on, ready to go out into battle. Psalm 63:1-4. Almost all of these are in Psalms.
The fool says in his heart, there's no God, they are corrupt, and their ways are vile. There is no one who does good. God looks down from heaven on the sons of men to see if there are any who understand. Any who seek God, everyone is turned away. They have together become corrupt. There is no one who does good, not even one. For the evildoers never learn, those who devour my people as men eat bread and do not call on God.
Where do you find that? It's good.
Psalm 53.
We were on, I'm sorry, 63.
Oh, 63.
63:1-4. It's all right. That was something we probably needed.
It's still good stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, good. Oh, God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. I have seen you in the sanctuary. Behold your power and your glory, because your love is better than life. My lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live. And in your name I will lift up my hand. My soul will be satisfied and with the richest of food. With singing lips, my mouth will praise you.
This one's loaded. Okay, so how does he seek? Yep. His whole body craves God and His presence. This is put you in mind of like more the, you know, the Song of Solomon, where you have the more almost romantic sounding, you know, where there's the debate whether that's meant to be what it is, like the romantic, or whether it's meant to be God's passion for us and our passion for God, or whether it's meant to be both. I have a tendency of thinking maybe it's both. This is talking about just longing to be with God in His presence. Personal pet peeve, not to pick on anybody that might have in this room that might have disagreed with me on this, that's okay, we can disagree. You are called to in Scripture to long to experience God. This thing about be wary of an experience with God where you sense his presence. It's not from Scripture. Scripture tells us that we will experience God. What the difference is, and I think that's what they're speaking against, is demanding an experience with God on our terms. That is wrong. God will give you an experience with him if he wants to. And if he doesn't, we still will trust and honor him. But here, David has seen him in his sanctuary and beheld his power and glory. And we know that he danced before God with all his might whenever the Ark of the Covenant, which we talked about this morning, was coming back to Jerusalem. Maybe that is when he beheld God's glory, because God honored that, even though his wife Michal made fun of him. God honored his heart and passion for him. It is appropriate to display passion for God. I'm not going to advocate that people run down the aisles, but if someone is worshiping and you all of a sudden see that they're singing on their knees in worship to God, I think the one grandson of Betty did that one time here in praise. Don't judge them as being overly dramatic. Maybe the Lord laid it on their heart to do that. You don't know their heart. David was despised for his worship, but God honored it. So be careful. This scripture warns me to be careful to just allow the Lord to be the one who leads you. But don't judge another person. It's not directly in here. That's probably more me seeing that. But he's saying that God's love is better than life, so his lips will glorify him. He's saying that I desire God's love so much, I desire it more than life. His life is not so important as the love of God. So he would be willing to give his life. And we know those who have given their lives on the mission field, their passion for God was so great that they were willing to sacrifice themselves. There are those who, Christians, who waited on the sick in a place where there was the plague, where no one else wanted to, even knowing that they would probably get the plague and die themselves if they didn't survive. And they did so because they loved Jesus. That is an act of worship. Anyway, I wasn't supposed to have a sermonette. It's supposed to be a Bible study. But we know that if God wants us to experience him, we will. The difference being, don't demand it of God. Let him do it if he wants to. And if you have it, you don't have to brag about it because it was all God. So I do have an issue with those who would just try to have an experience, but they don't love Jesus. We're to love Jesus, and if he gives us an experience, that's fine. Psalm 71:8. Whoever gets it can read it out. Verse 8.
My mouth is filled with your praise, declaring your splendor all day long.
Okay. What stands out to you about how this praise is going? All day long. So we don't have to limit our praise to our morning time with the Lord or our evening time with the Lord. We can keep it going all day long. We can keep it all going all day long in many ways. We could do it by, we could sing, we could quote scripture, we could keep his praise going by just being still and listening as we work. And we can definitely do it by testifying to how good he is to other people throughout the day. And you also honor God by asking other people if they have anything they need prayed for, caring for the needs of other people. Does anybody here feel like me that, you know, that keeping it going all day could be something that maybe doesn't come naturally to us? I don't sense myself doing it all day long. That's my confession. This is challenging me to do it all day. Absolutely. So we don't have to have our mouths open yammering all day long, you know. Probably no one wants to hear that, but we can have that attitude. Psalm 73:25. This is Asaph. And this, for me, was the first message I heard Ed preach whenever he preached it at Williamsburg in the evening. Was Psalm 73, but what's 73:25 say?
Whom have I in heaven but you, and earth has nothing I desire besides you.
Okay, what does this teach us about worship and about the Lord?
Whether in heaven or earth, there's nothing there beside you.
Yeah.
No.
My mind works in funny ways, but I think of the truck we get to deliver our paper products to the shop. Who bought W.B. Mason? That's what it says on the truck. Who but the Lord is worthy of our praise all the time? Who else? You know, the advertising slogan is saying, why even look to anybody else? We got you. That's the way it is with the Lord. Who else would you go to when you're for everything but him? He's the one that sustains you, saves you, made you. Who else are you going to cling to in trouble? And when you have something good to celebrate, celebrate with the Lord. Don't keep him out of the positive stuff either. What about Psalm 79:9? Okay. What aspect of worship, what's pointed out here in Psalm 79:9? For whose sake? So we cry out to God for help that honors him. And we appeal to the glory of his name. What that is when we, even when we pray for someone for physical healing, we would say, Lord, please heal this person for the glory of your name, that your name would be glorified through this healing that takes place. There's no, it's not for the glory of that person. That person didn't heal themselves. It's for the glory of the healer, which is Christ. That's in our theme in the Christian Missionary Alliance. Christ, our Savior, Healer, Sanctifier, and Coming King. We look to him for healing, and when we look to him for healing, that gives him glory. When we look to him for help, if it's financial trouble or relational trouble, that gives him glory. When we look to him for help in anything, that gives him glory. When we look to him for forgiveness of our sins, that gives glory to his name. Psalm 95:6, which was in our call to worship. 95:6. No one from the east or west. Let me see, that's 75. Wrong one. 95:6. Come, let us bow down and worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care. How do we recognize the Lord in Psalm 95? And where the flock. I need be exalted, O God, above the heavens to be pulled up that I forgot to tell Patty. Josiah, can you go back and help find that? She had to go to the restroom. Not to be telling everybody that. I shouldn't have done that. But be exalted, O God, above the heavens. It's based on Psalm 108 and probably by Maranatha. While he's doing that, Psalm 103. Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being. Praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in love. So in this, we see that a whole list of benefits, forgiveness, healing of diseases. There's a whole lot of benefits. He even changes your desires and renews your desires and restores your youth. He makes you desire to be righteous. Before we sing, "Be exalted, O God, above the heavens," which is another worship verse based on Psalm 108. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, I pray you'll impress upon our hearts what it is to worship you and in spirit and in truth. As Jesus told, I think it was Nicodemus, who met him at night. No, it was at the woman at the well. The true worshipers would not worship in Jerusalem or on the mountain, but would worship in spirit and in truth, because that is the worship you desire, is true worship, worship that's done by your Spirit's enabling. So I pray you'll help us as we would sing this psalm that's from your word, put to music, that we would worship you in spirit and in truth. And let this song be our closing instead of Matthew 28 today, that we will close by worshiping you and go out with joy in our hearts that we've had an opportunity to worship together, stating your word in song. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.